Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrian. And the next interview that you're going to hear is from our friend Dory Midnight. We recorded this last year before October 7th. And both Dory and I wanted you to know that she is an anti-Zionist Jewish organizer who has been doing a ton of work over the past 6 months. And one of the things that has emerged that we've been doing together is these multi-faith prayer circles. She's one of the organizers. She offers prayers each time, and I've been a part of them, most of the prayer circles as well. And we'll include links in the show notes for where you can find the recordings from the past prayer circles. We actually have one coming up the week that we're releasing this on Saturday, so you can go to our Instagram pages to find that. And they've just been a really sacred portal opening that is allowing us to move beyond division in order to put our spiritual power behind the transformation of this moment into one that is liberating for the people of Palestine and liberating for those who are caught up in the egregious and regressive mindset of Zionism. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation, and we'll also be having future conversations, particularly about this other work that we've been doing. All right. Love you all. Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrian, writer of stories and songs, emergent strategist and pleasure activist living in the land of the Shikori, Skarura, Tuscarora, Eno, and Lumbee peoples. And this is How to Survive the End of the World, our podcast about learning from apocalypse with grace, rigor, and curiosity. When I say our, I am including my sister Autumn, who's currently on sabbatical. In her absence, and in honor of my book Fables and Spells, I'm going full witch this season and having conversations with my favorite witchy people, and I'll be reading you little bits and pieces from the book as well. What I mean by witch is people who work with the elements of the natural world, including our human nature, to generate more possibilities. Witching is engaging the essential natural world with magic or supernatural intentions. Some names for what I'm including in this work are shamanism, sorcery, seeing, healing, herbalism, midwifery, doula labor, root work, conjuring, ritual and spell casting, astrology and divination, sound baths, altar building, song channeling, all kinds of ways of building a direct relationship with the realm of spirit and the holy and the ethereal. And my guest today, I'm very excited about because it's someone we've collaborated with, this podcast has collaborated with. So today we have Dory Midnight, who is a community care practitioner, ritual leader, writer, and deep listener oriented towards healing and liberation. Dory practices intuitive healing and woven rituals in reverent collaboration with plants, the seen and the unseen, and in service to personal and collective healing. And Dory has created both the Apocalypse Potion, which we are so hopeful that you all have and are using all the time to get through this magical time, and also created the Pleasure Activism Potion, which I think is the very best potion taste-wise of all time. So Dory, welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast.
I'm so happy to be here with you.
I love having you here. So how are you right now today?
I mean, I'm just like, I'm sitting in a closet looking at you, getting to talk to you. It's like, is this a dream? Is this my life? I've never sat in my closet before.
It's kind of like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, like queer witch edition or whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm like, where's the fur coat I can like
exactly.
to go to the other world? And it's also like, kind of like, I put all these pillows, everything I do, I like, you know, I have to make an altar. I have to make it extra and beautiful. So I just like have pillows everywhere, and I have an altar, and I have my candle, and I'm like, thank you for this invitation to get to create a floral pillow fort in my closet to get to talk to you about.
Oh, thing. That makes me so happy that that's how this went. All right. Well, we've already succeeded. I will say I'm doing well. I just came off of like a really intense travel phase. You know, one of those phases where like heading into it, it's like, there's too much, girl. There's too much. There's going to be too much. And it was definitely like too much, but it was too much good. Like everything was really incredible time with people. And I'm going through this awakening around my body and some clarity around disordered eating patterns and like all this work that is actually very difficult to do while traveling. You know, it's like, I'm feeling this, I'm studying this, and I'm not fully in charge of like what's happening. And, you know, so I've been landing home and just kind of like, okay, where are we at? Mm-hmm. What are we learning? What are we listening to? And so it feels really nice to have all the good memories at my back mm-hmm. and then be rooting back down into the soil of my home, mm-hmm. the rhythm of my home. Like this morning, I have necklaces like hung up on a wall and I just rearranged them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm here. I'm back. This mm-hmm. I needed to rearrange something that wouldn't injure my body. I was like, here we go. I used to be like, I need to move the couch. I'm home. I need to move the couch. But now I'm like, we wait for help for the couch. We'll move these necklaces around. So we're good. We're both here. Mm-hmm. So I say which, right? And I'm including, you know, I'm really trying to have this really big, wide space for all the witchy behaviors I see. And I don't want to force it onto people. So I want to know, how do you speak of the work you do? I heard intuitive, I heard healer. I love this piece around being a community care practitioner. You know, how do you relate to the work of witching? Does that feel like something you can also claim, or like it's all in the realm?
Yeah. I mean, I think like, I like to be called it by someone who can see it the way that you see it, you know, like I will wear that word. I will wear that word like a cloak, like a crown, like, you know, a newly rearranged necklace.
Yes.
You know, and if that's the word that my people call me, it's like, you know, it's like shorthand, or it's like a flag. Yeah. It's like a legible word that we have for what I do and what I am. And I do feel like, you know, the way that you're using it feels wide enough for what I do. Like, you know, it's like an invocation, and it evokes and invokes something, which is like wide enough for all the things that I do. And I think, you know, it can be a vessel for, like, it can be a word vessel for like deep listening and seeing and prophetic imagination. And, you know, I think like what you're talking about, and I think, you know, the work that I do, which is like an unmaking and a spell breaking, as well as like a world making and web tending and collective care and collaborating with everything work, you know, just like tending to big and little transitions, birth work, death work, and everything in between and beyond work, you know? So I connect to it in the way that's sort of like, I think it's like a profound thing when our communities name us something and call us something. And that's like, that's what I want. So I love it when people call me like, oh, this is Dory. She's my witch.
She's my witch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the same way that I might like love to be called. It's like a term of endearment. Like I might love to be called like baby girl or femme or slut or whatever, you know, like.
Yes.
Yeah,
that together, baby girl, slut them, witch.
You know, if the shoe fits, like, Adrian.
Call me by my name. I love this. And, you know, Dory, there's a way that I think of it. It also helps me process the fact that I have so much alignment with people across so many different cultural backgrounds and cultural lineages, where I'm like, okay, sure, we come from wildly different stories, but we both would have been in the cottage at the edge of the village with our magical things, and people would know to come holler at us. And so I'm like, whatever that is, I'm that, right? Like in my mind, you live in like a magical cottage with your concoctions and your tinctures and your ingredients all around you. And like, you're in the woods a lot, just being like, I gathered this moss to put in something, you know, like,
I mean,
yeah.
It's true.
Okay, good. I was like, I just want to make sure my vision of your life was accurate.
Oh, yeah, the rumors are true. That's basically just collecting moss, you know.
Howling at the moon.
Howling at the moon, you know, grinding on trees, licking flowers, you know.
Yes.
This is the witch work. But I think, you know, I think too, like, the word itself carries, like, a heavy history. And,
oh, it intensely.
You know, and, like, really invokes this lineage that I also do flow from, which is, like, a lineage of... that I think, like, you know, like, baby girl, slut, bitch, femme, whatever, is like, it evokes that kind of deviance and non-normativity. And like, it's not just that we live in cottages, but that we live at the edge.
The edge.
And I think living at the edge is really important, because that's like where the most potent weeds grow. That's like where the in-between is. That's like the twilight time. And so it's like, I think it comes also with this kind of like erotic and creative and spiritual power. It comes with a lineage of collective care. And so it feels like it, you know, that word honors that lineage. And, you know, like, it's interesting, because I think, like, I think about, like, in my ancestral lineage, right? Like, there were the spiritual leaders who were named something because they were part of an institution, right? Like, rabbis, or, you know, for other folks, like a preacher, or a priest, right? And it's like, witches get named, healers get named by the people, you know, like, and so, and there's, you know, there's names in my lineage for what I do, I think, that I'm like trying to lift up, trying to remember, because so much of that history has been obscured and suppressed. But I do think it's something, it's like, there's something about, like, those of us who are, like, attuning to, listening to, like, the web of belonging, using what we have on hand to keep people alive, or to help them die, to accompany them in their suffering, to guide people towards reconnection and healing and liberation. But I'm also like, yeah, I mean, I think there's, like, somebody just sent me a meme the other day that was like, oh, you're like this, you're like a tincture top, you know, or like a,
A flower moth.
I feel like, you know, there's, I love the, like, all the words that we can come up with. And I also love, like, the potency of a historical collective word like witch. So I think, and I think, like, like, there's something simple about it, you know, where it's like, we can just say this word, there is a word, you know, even though I think it's true. It is kind of like it doesn't always, you know, that's not a word I think that was used in my ancestral lineage tradition, but I'm like,
yeah. I mean, I think this is also one of the interesting things where people have been so persecuted for so long, and in cycles and in cycles and in cycles, for doing the kind of things that you do, for doing the kind of things that I do. And it feels like we're in this period of persecution. You know, the kind of persecution is happening around us that usually then leads to the persecution of what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels important to me to name, like, actually, I want to be loud and strong in what it is I do with and for my community. And not to be like, I'm right over here, but more to be like, we're everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're everywhere. Like, the many times that the cycle has tried to eradicate this kind of work have never succeeded. Mm-hmm. And you've made us get quieter, maybe. You've made us find other language that was more acceptable for our practice, or tuck our practices under other more acceptable structural institutional ways of doing healing work, and supporting our communities. But that doesn't mean that this part went away. And I think people know that, like, you know, anywhere you can come across someone and just be like, that person seems to know something about how to be with me right now, and how to sort of orient me towards what it is I need to face in this moment. Mm-hmm. And it might be, you know, I definitely know that, like, I've had masseuses, and then I've had people who are like, oh, you're healing something down in my soma. I've had doctors, and then I've had people who are like, I'm drawing on everything available in order to support your health. I've had friends, and then I've had witches, witchy friends, you know, like it's just, it's really, it's also interesting to me because I'm noticing more and more that if I ask a few more questions, almost everyone has either been saved by a witch or has channeled this witchy energy at some point in their own lives, or they have an ancestor who they're like, oh, you know, grandma was like on one. So I want to ask you, when do you feel like you were drawn towards this work? Like, do you feel like it was, you were like, I don't know, it was always just like this, or was there a moment when it was like, oh no, that's the way for me. This feels right.
I mean, both. I think like I came in, you know, I woke up like this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
You know, as a child, I was like just very, very sensual, very alive, very wild, very spiritual. Like I talked to spirits and, you know, just wanted to hang out with like the old people and the flowers, which I think is like a good sign of like knowing what to orient to and who to hang out with.
Yep.
And I grew up at the feet of my great grandmother, who was she was a witch, you know. She like watered her plants, she like gave her plants splashes of vodka, and she had like these long silver braids that she wore in these Princess Leia buns, and she was always like dropping little gems of wisdom. Like she would like, she was like bobby pins. I keep bobby pins in my hair because the metal keeps the demons away. You know, she had like beautiful, you know, the ways that I think like wisdom is just like woven into a daily life when you get to grow up with an elder, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to a fucking workshop, you know. Yep. You're just like, yep, sitting at the feet of an old one. And she did have like one moment where I was sitting at her feet, because I would always tie her shoes, and she just like took my face in her hand, and she was just like, she always used to call me Little Silver Eyes, and she was like, Little Silver Eyes, you are going to remember these stories. You're going to remember the stories, and you're going to, like, it was so intense, you know. It felt like she was doing like a transmission into me, you know. And she was just like, you know so much, and you are here to heal and guide people. And she's like, and I'm, you know, and I'm here with you. And I would always, you know, she's always been in my dreams. So I feel like that was definitely a moment. And then when, for my bat mitzvah, I went to Hebrew school as a kid, which I was always just like, I love stories and I love asking questions. And I just like, I ditched a lot of Hebrew school because I was also like, patriarchy sucks and this is boring. But for my bat mitzvah, what I wanted was to go to this like psychic palm reader who was on, I grew up in LA, so it was like just like a storefront palm reader. And yes, I was like, that's what I want for my bat mitzvah present, is like, I want to see the fucking palm reader.
And take me to her.
So my mom took me for my bat mitzvah. And this, you know, she was just like neon sign palm reader. She took my palms in her hand and she like basically like shrieked and fell out of her chair. And she was just like, your hands. And it was like that. I have to say that was like a very turning point moment for me, because she was just like, you have stars, like your whole palm is made of stars. And it's true, like my hands, I have the hands of like a 1,000-year-old person, and I was like, wow, a tween, you know. And she was just like, you sent these stars to yourself from, wow, all of your past lives as witches. You have pentacles, you have pentagrams. And she was just like, you're psychic, you need a teacher, you know. Of course later she was just like, and I can teach you. Right. I didn't go that wasn't the direction I went. I was like, you know, I thought about it. I used to read tarot cards out of a van in my 20s, which was like the closest thing. It was really, I felt really like, it felt like it guided me in a direction just to be like, this is real. What I'm experiencing, what I know, what I feel is real.
Yeah.
And also like at that time, I was just like, I was waking up to my queerness and to, you know, being a feminist and my connection to the earth, and to like, you know, I loved rocks and I loved trees and I loved flowers and I loved the earth so much. And I felt like being like, oh, I'm a witch, like that made sense of all of it. Like I was just like, yeah, I'm queer, I'm a freak, I love the earth, and I'm here to like listen deeply. And so I do feel like, you know, and then like found my way to the Bay Area, where I was just surrounded by radical fairies and witches, and really got to, very young, like I think a lot of us have the fantasy of getting to like go and live with a grandmother in the cottage at the edge of the forest, right? And just be like, yes, I will sweep your floor for 10 years and just absorb
And
your
learn the
wisdom, you
ways.
know, learn the ways. And I feel like I got to have somewhat close to that. Like I lived with these like older lesbian witches, you know, and I was just like a, you know, a chaotic like force of like Aries force of my early 20s, you know. But she was
Is
like,
it your
why is there
birthday?
jewelry? It just was.
Dory, happy birthday. Oh, that's so exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like you and I have like some Aries conversations to have.
Yeah, you're sun and I'm rising. And I'm like, I've been learning how to wield it. I'm finally learning how to wield it. I was in like protest for quite some time. So I was just like,
yeah,
I don't know about this. This doesn't feel like I don't understand it. And then now I'm like, oh no, this is how I get things done. I get so much done.
Yeah, I think like being in this time of year and seeing, especially where I live in the Northeast, where it's like, what is the kind of fire it takes to make a flower that comes through snow?
Yes.
You know, what is that force? Like, and that I feel like is like, you know, I'm
the
a late
Aries
Aries.
fire.
I'm almost a Taurus. So I'm like, I'm a very earthy fire.
Yeah. Same.
But yeah, I feel like I can see it, and I'm happy to be in company with you. And I think Aries get, you know, we get maligned a lot, but it's,
well, and I think it's, I've really dealt with some, I've dealt with like the wide range, right? Like I have dealt with Aries that don't have a connection to ground, and I've dealt with Aries that do, and it's just so different. And, you know, but I think with all of them, it's like, there's so much more going on. It also took a long time to learn that. I'm like, there's just so much more going on than one part of it. And so you've given us little seedlings and little hints about this lineage, right? We know your grandmother, we know these older lesbian witches in the Bay. And I also appreciated that you use the word intuitive. Versus like it's of this lineage or that lineage, but I wanted to ask you to share a little bit more explicitly about the lineage that you have found in this work. For me, when I think of intuitive, I'm like, sometimes the trees told me themselves directly, and a lot that the ocean has told me directly. And a lot is like, if I'm sitting still, the guidance comes, or like what I need to say or sing or write or do is very clear. And so for me, like when I, you know, I'm like, often I will go find the practice that was already unveiled to me as the right practice, and then be astounded to find out that there's like, you know, centuries and of practice in doing it that way. And then now I relax, you know, now I don't even take it. It's no longer astounding, but at first it was just like, wait, this occurred to me, and like, it's a thing. Anyway, so can you share a little bit about lineage and what intuitive means for you versus formal lineage, and if you've had any formal teachers along the way?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I feel like that's what something that I love so much about like making remedies that we take in community is like, there's something about, you know, I used to teach magical arts to kids.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And so, and there's always that question, like, is this thing real? You know? And it's like, we make it like the way that we affirm something together by being like, this is my experience. And we're all like, our experiences allow us to trust ourselves more, like allow us to trust our own intuition and like, support us to trust our own knowing, I think, in that way. And I think like knowing that there's an established practice that is flowing through you, like it's like, who knows where intuition comes from? Like it is the rocks, or it is the ocean, or it is the trees, you know, when we're open enough to know those things. So I love what you shared. My lineage and my training, I mean, you know, I do a lot of my work, you know, I spend a lot of time with my eyes closed. That's what I do for my work. I work with people like one-on-one or in groups doing intuitive healing work. And I, and like when I close my eyes about this question, it's like, I really see myself in like, is this like strand in this like resplendent braid of That's what like lineage feels like to me. And it feels like I'm like one of these people who braids. Like I belong to this this braiding bunch.
Yes.
That like, you know, that there is a lineage, and it's like both formal and not formal, right? Like it's like, you know, it's a lot of the lineage in my Jewish heritage has been obscured by patriarchy and white
Yeah.
supremacy and anti-Semitism and, you know, all the forces of domination and extraction and suppression. And so part of my work is like remembering and re-enchanting and reconnecting to this lineage. And what I found in that work is like such a, the ways in which, kind of like what I was saying before, like it's like giving ourselves permission, giving each other permission to know something and to
Yeah.
trust ourselves and to
Yeah.
like, and then to direct this work towards liberation, like to direct this work, like have a really clear, in Hebrew we call it kavanah, which is like intention, but it has this kind of like directive force. Like it's like, where are you flowing your life force towards?
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think like, I have this, like, I feel like I'm like of this flow of a lot of like unnamed ancestors, like care
I love
workers,
that.
menders of the invisible realms, like all these generations of people who were like braiding hair and braiding bread and measuring wicks around graves. And like, they weren't, you know, like they were stirring pots and making amulets and saying prayers over their babies' heads and
Yeah.
just like pulling on the threads of time and space. And so there's
Yeah.
those people, there's like those web weavers, and then there's like my lineage of blood, like my great grandmother, and just for sure knowing that like in my people, in my blood, in my bones are these people who were like delivering babies and
Period. Yeah.
working in, you know, really working incantations, you know,
Yes.
like and queer and trans witch ancestors. And then, like I said, like I landed myself in the Bay in my early 20s, and I landed myself, like the first place I lived was with these older witches who were part of Starhawk's coven, like literally like that little reclaiming coven. And I was just like their little gay baby. And I connected with this mentor named Kabele, who is like a rock wizard and an older witch dyke. And I started working with her when I was like 23. She was doing this breath and body work group for survivors of sexual trauma.
Wow.
And I like learned from her how to like call the directions. I learned about the elements. I did like deep, deep work with stones, where I would like apprentice with a stone for a full year, sleep with a
Wow.
stone, bathe with a stone, carry the stone in my pocket, go into the stone, have the stone come into me, drink water with a stone, you know?
Wow.
So it's like I did 13 years of apprenticing with stones, like one stone a
Wow.
year. So it's like, you know, very profound work, you know, and like being in the realm of like radical fairies and experiencing kind of like politicized magic, people who were going to protests and were like, you know, calling the corners at protests, you know. And it was just such a beautiful integration of like my, you know, and in that time, like I was also participating in a lot of like creating community healing spaces at like St. James, at like, you know, clinics for sex workers or conferences or whatever. And so it felt both like there was kind of a formal training, right? Like there
Yes.
was, I was learning from this group of elder witches who were queer and had like radical politics. And also I was like apprenticing like queer elders and about like movement spaces and in part of like in the world of those of us, I feel like in the late 90s and early 2000s, who were like, we're gonna fucking show up in these movement spaces with our herbs and with our teas and with our altars and with a massage table, and we're gonna lay our hands on each other and we're gonna fucking make this up together.
Yeah.
But like when I say make this up, I mean like we're gonna close our eyes and we're gonna like listen deeply to what's flowing through us, you know.
But it
And
is.
so that's like that's the lineage that I come from, and I'm so like eternally grateful for that I got to be like raised by these weirdos, you know, and the plants themselves too, you know, of course.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things I love about this, a couple of the witches I've talked to have also spoken about this dance of like, there's intuition either way. Like it's intuitive how you get drawn to your teachers, even if the teachers have a more formal approach, or if you get drawn to teachers who have a less formal approach, or if you get drawn directly to the non-human teachers, intuition is in there somewhere calling you and pushing you and telling you to close your eyes, you know? And I love that you see it as a braid. I love the resplendent braid. You know, I often talk about it as a river, you know, that I'm like, I feel like I'm just in this river. The river extends back beyond me, beyond what I can comprehend, and extends ahead of me beyond what I can comprehend. But it feels very clear to me that I'm supposed to be in this river right now. And I feel like even those visuals really help to be, it's just like, oh yeah, there's a weaving, there's a tumbling, there's something that's containing and holding this thing as it moves, you know?
Hello, beloved survivors. This is Autumn. I'm emerging briefly from the new home I made for myself in the forest among the gnomes and the fae and magical creatures of all kind to remind you that if you listen to this show regularly, you might consider making a gift to support our work in 2024. And I'll tell you a little bit about why. Adrienne and I and our producer, Zach, have always felt strongly that we can best protect the content of our show by being listener-supported rather than ad-sponsored. Being financially supported by the people who are most directly impacted by our show means that we can fearlessly move towards the most difficult topics, the most challenging conversations, and the most courageous edges of the time we are living through. From our apocalypse survival episode on the right to arm and defend ourselves, which aired in the midst of the 2020 uprising, to our 2023 ceasefire episode on the genocide being perpetrated on the Palestinian people in Gaza, we have maintained our show as a place to hold out visionary possibility with our eyes trained on liberation for all oppressed peoples. That's because we aren't worried about being dropped or canceled. We know that the people who most need to hear us can and will hear us, and that's because of you. So we want to thank you, all of you, who support our show in all of the myriad ways that you do it. And we want to invite those of you who haven't yet to consider making a sustaining gift via Patreon. In exchange, you do get some sweet, cute merch, plus access to content that we record only for patrons. So you can go to patreon.com/endoftheworldshow to learn more. And if you're wondering if I'm coming back, I'm coming back.
So I wonder, I mostly have interacted with you around the potions and the tinctures, and I'm curious about how much of that is at the center of your witch work, and how what are all the ways basically that you do your work at this point?
Yeah, it's really sweet to think about the potions as being like a way that I'm like drop dosing people. Like
I have pleasure activism like right by my computer, and I take it before most conversations, which it's really helped with my introversion, like being able to be like, oh, I can take this and I can drop into what I can enjoy in the connection. And it just really helps, you know, I feel like loved, and I'm like, oh, there's joy in this. But yeah, your potions are, and the apocalypse potion is always very tiny. And like, I take it when, you know, when, when I'm like, oh no, it's ending. And I'm like, yeah, it's ending.
It's ending.
It's ending.
It's ending. Yeah. I mean, I think we met through, I think we first connected because of Boundaries in a Bottle spray. And it's like, it's so sweet to like get to be, I love like.
Wait, can I tell you something really sweet?
Yes.
I have a nibbling whose parents have gone through, you know, separation, and there's just a lot happening at the parental level. And this baby was around me, and I spray the boundaries in a bottle whenever I travel. I often wake up and spray it around me. Anyway, she was like, "What's that? Spray that on me." And she just knew immediately. And every day she wanted it sprayed on her. And so I had to get her own bottle because she was just like, "This is my, like, I need this." Mm-hmm. And at that time, I think she was like 5, that she was like, "I need this. I know I need this." Mm-hmm. And I would just be like, "Yeah, this is just a way that you can cast some protection around yourself." She loves it. Thank you.
Thank mm-hmm. you for sharing that with me. I love hearing potion stories about, like, I love hearing potion stories, and especially the young people who are like, there's no fucking block there. They're just like, yes, this is the magic.
Oh, that's what I need.
I need this, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah. 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 And I think, I mean, I, for me, like the potion making, the remedy making is like, it's poetry, it's spells, you know, it's just liquid spells. And
yeah,
it's like, you know, it's a collaborative intimacy practice for me of like, putting my love and my intention and my magic into a little bottle. And so it's definitely like, it's a practice. It's like a love practice. It's an intimacy practice. It's an offering practice. And it's like an emanation of my work, which is, you know, I mean, like, it's in everything that I do, you know, like, mm-hmm. everything's a ritual, everything's an altar. So I do, you know, I have my intuitive healing practice that I've been doing healing work for over 20 years of seeing folks and listening and seeing. And it's really like, I mean, I took a little time off to do more writing and teaching. And now that I'm coming back to it, it's so in love with it.
Yes.
I'm so in love with it. You know, I just like, it's delicious to get to support people. And I've been thinking about, actually, my great grandmother, I have like a whole long history with my, it's funny. I haven't even thought about all these connections with palm readers, but when I was little, my great grandmother told me about, she grew up in the Lower East Side. And, there was like a palm reader in the Lower East Side who she would tell me about how she would go and see her and stuff with her mom. And, I really think a lot about how workers like that are like, I just feel like I'm like, it's like network work. Like I'm holding a lot of community stories, you know, and it's such an honor, and it's so beautiful. So that's one piece of my work. And that, you know, that is like, I do one-on-one, but I've also like, you know, spent a lot of time in community spaces doing that. And I teach, you know, I do a lot of work teaching about kind of reconnecting with re-enchanting ancestral healing practices. I think of it as like theological work. I do a lot of like creating ritual spaces and collective ritual spaces and personal ritual spaces. I'm a ritual leader. I am like, I'm a word witch. Mm-hmm. I write spells, I write liturgy, mm-hmm. I write prayers. I don't identify as a poet, but you know, I think of my work more as like spells and prayers.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's been an interesting thing because people respond to it as like beautiful poem, mm-hmm. you know, but, and I sometimes, you know, for me, sometimes it's a poem, sometimes it's a spell. And I feel like the distinction is very clear.
Yeah.
I'm like, a spell is a spell.
Yeah. How do you know?
For me, a spell is, it's often directive. It's often like calling myself in to a certain behavior or state of being, or I'm asking for a certain state to be produced around me and around the people I love and like around this earth. And so, you know, I've tried at different points, like, you know, I have lots of spell templates and like ways that I can teach people that I'm like, you want to draw in what it is you want to change. And then the spell is sort of like how that change can happen, like naming the ingredients of that change and calling in, you know, the energy of that change. For me, a poem is often much more like a reflection of how things are, mm-hmm. and just like, here's how I feel about how things are. And then sometimes these hybrid, you know, this, I wrote this thing the other day that was like, I'm trying. And it felt like mostly a reflection of how things are. But in the writing of it, it ended up doing spell work on me. Because like in order, as I was writing it, it deepened my breath and it made me more present. Like, so sometimes that happens where like the spell that I need is to write a poem, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I feel like, I mean, when I read your descriptions, okay, so listen to this. This is the description of, this is what Dory wrote on the pleasure activism potion. So do what feels good. Take 4 to 18 delicious drops daily as desired. Place directly on the tongue, in water, in tea, on stones, in your bath, in your hair. Enjoy alone or in community with lovers. May it awaken heart desires. Invite orgasms of body, mind, and spirit, and rock you in remembering that justice work is pleasure work, is liberation work. With essences of honey rose, wild ginger, tulip poplar, rainbow shower tree, opal, rhodochrosite, carnelian, dolphin love, hot springs, northern lights, honeybees, and spring water and honey brandy. I don't think anyone else would have written it that way. Like, just reading that, like, I've read that so many times to so many people, and just reading it, every time I read it, I'm like, I need droplets of dolphin love and northern lights. And I don't know how you did it, but that's what I need. And so it just feels like it's poetic, that, but you're living a poetic life and you see things through a poetic lens. And so that's how you are as a communicator. And you don't have to take on the title of that to, you know, I would say that I'm like, you don't have to take on the title to be doing the thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think like the reading of that, it's like when I make someone a remedy, like when I see someone for healing work and I make someone a remedy, it's like the description of the remedy is part of the healing, right? It's like, I'm going to tell you about like, okay, there's moss in this essence. Here's what moss does. And, you know, because I think it's like, and it creates, it's this, I mean, it's magic is what it is. It's like, because it's like, it's this connection between me, my hands, my heart, these flowers, the ocean, the trees, this person. And I think like this is like when I think about what healing work is, you know, or like what, like creating, like even like with boundaries in a bottle, like what is protection, right? Like how do we invoke protection? And it's like, how do we invoke that state? And I do think that's why, like, you know, people will call me like a psychic or a healer. And those aren't words that I use to describe myself, but I think community care practitioner really works for me because it's like the feeling of protection that like your nibbling is experiencing is love. Like it's like the love of those stones and the love of those trees in a bottle made in ceremony and ritual by me, who is like, in a ritual thinking about like who are all the people in like moments of vulnerability and moments of fear and in the world that we're living in, like putting that magic in a bottle. And so it's like, I think at its best, like magic and healing work helps us remember this web of belonging that we're in, helps us remember that like an amulet or like a protection spray isn't going to prevent a bad thing from happening. It's like bad things are fucking happening, you know?
They're happening all the time.
You know, our spells are not going to keep these things from happening.
Yeah.
But I think what our magic does and what our healing does is help us like remember our connection to each other, helps us remember our interdependence with each other. And that's like, as a community care practitioner, it's like, I'm here in service to that, to this life, to this web of life in love. And like, you know, I think it's really different than being like, this healer's going to like fix your life. This healer's going to like cut the cord so you never think about your ex again. This healer's going to like protect you so that your house doesn't burn down. It's like, no, we're like, the whole point is opening to mystery, is to opening to like everything that life brings, you know, but not being alone with it and not being like, and not like not closing to life, you know, letting life happen to us, but feeling, like we have resources, like we have tools and skills, like we have each other to like the way that we tend to each other, and not just us, but like we have this, you know, we have dolphin love, you know, like we yes. have like dolphins jumping in an ocean. We have like an essence of that. We're going to put that in a fucking bottle. You are going to take that every day because like you might yes. not be able to get to the ocean. I mean, I think it comes with a lot of bittersweetness too, because it's like I make these essences and I think about like, how are we not thinking about like what's happening in our ocean? You know, how are we yes. not thinking about birdsong and like when it's going to end? And like, you yeah. know, that's always there for me. So it's also like with so much, it's holding like such a wideness of like where it's just like the grief and the love and of being alive right now, you know?
You know, Dory, I also something there's so much is popping up, and it's like all these little flowers are sprouting as you speak in me, you know, I'm just like, yes, 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 yes. So one of those flowers is that there's a way I feel that bringing my attention to what I love about being alive and about being on and of the earth and awakening that love in others, or even the possibility of that love in others, like kind of intervening on a moment and being like, did you notice how gorgeous the trees are when it's springtime? Like I went for a walk in my neighborhood yesterday and I just was like, there's this forest trail here and I'm building up my capacity to walk the trail. And I was like, oh, I've been focusing on like my steps on the path. And yesterday I went for the walk on the trail and I stopped looking at the path and I just got obsessed with like the sounds of the trees, and something large went running by, like a large deer, I think something went running by, but like I just couldn't quite see it, but I could see the large shape, you know? And then the trees were all moving and it was so alive. Like it was so alive that before I knew it, I was at the end of the trail because I wasn't thinking about the trail. I was just like, wow, 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 wow. And, you know, and then I came home and I was like, wow, I was able to do something that I didn't think my body could do because I was just paying attention to the aliveness all around me and maybe borrowing from it in ways that I can't even fully comprehend. But I think that that's part of what we're doing is alchemizing. Like if we focus on what's alive, I think that that both heals us. And I think that it becomes more alive. Like, and I think it works as a counterbalance for all of those in our species who are not paying attention to what's alive and thus having all this negative impact on it. And it makes me, so that's one like big flower bush. It's like, it makes me want to be so present, right? That really so much of what witchy work is up to is mindfulness work and presence work. And just being like, we, most of what happens in our lifetimes is not in our control, but we get to have a lot of agency in our presence and how we bring our presence to what is happening. And if we bring our presence in a way that assumes our power and assumes our connectivity and assumes our collective impact, then we can create quite a beautiful life for ourselves and for those we love, and potentially for those who come after us. You know, I think about your grandmother and just being like, if you share what you know, like that's what the next generation comes in and is like, oh, this is what we can know, you know? And so a lot of it for, you know, part of why I'm always like, I got to write an article, I got to make a podcast, I got to tell everyone everything I figure out, is because I'm like, this is also happening. Like at the same time as all the hard news and the bad things and the accumulation of pain and power misuse. And there's also something else happening, which is the accumulation of community care and the accumulation of finding old ancient ways that have always helped us and bringing them into the present. And there's ways to, you know, when I am stressed, the best move I can make is to just drop deeper into myself and drop deeper into my connections. Right. So I'm, you know, every time we talk, this happens too, which I think is also part of why I wanted to do this. Cause I'm like, witchy conversations are pretty banging and pretty vibrant. And I think they have medicine tucked into them that we're not even aware of necessarily. Cause we're like, I live here, But I wanted to ask you, like, what witch skills do you wish everyone had in this apocalyptic moment? Or what way is it being?
I'm still just like ringing from everything you just said and thinking about, I mean, I think thinking about like the skill of being present with all the aliveness. And like, I've been thinking about, you know, last time you and I talked, we like touched a tiny, tiny bit on the word prophet and prophecy. And yes, that's something that I've been thinking about a lot, of just like really wanting, like the skill of, and I think I'm thinking about you in particular, and like you and your, you know, your Aries rising, and just like wanting people to be able to really like step into themselves and their purpose and like bring their gifts forth and have the support and the nourishment and the witnessing that's needed to do that.
Exactly.
You know, I think a lot about like the spiritual community and spiritual practice that I grew up in had a lot of space for being with questions and being with mystery.
And
like not having to know something, not having a right answer. And I feel like that's has been a huge gift in my life, to get to grow up in a spiritual tradition that welcomes and like not just welcomes, but like celebrates questions and is just like, here are all the names for God, actually. Like one of the names is like, I am becoming what I'm becoming, or, you know, like seriously, like that's a translation of one of the names of God. Of just like, and another one is like, torrent of delight or ocean. Or so I feel like I think especially in this time, in the great turning, in knowing like the waves of pain and suffering that we will experience, that we will witness, that is always happening and will continue to happen, like being able to be with mystery and be with not knowing, not knowing what's going to happen, you know, I think claiming, and not just like claiming and doing our work and our purpose, but like I do think like you know, I've been thinking a lot about prophecy and prophets, and the Hebrew word for prophecy, for prophet, is Nevi'im, which is like in the Torah. It's like where we first even hear the word prophet, the translation of that word prophet. And there's like a root translation you can do with that word that can translate to something that means those who ruin kings.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so I think like stepping into prophecy work as, and you know, I read a lot of liberation theology, I'm a total theology nerd. And, and so I've also been thinking about like the work of being prophets in this time, of having prophetic imagination, which means like, being able to see beyond empire, to be able to see beyond, like destructive forces, and like, and in order to do that, I think something that I've learned from reading about prophets, ancient prophets, and also just like living in this time, and also, you know, being 1,000 years old, is like, we need to feel angry. We need to feel bitter. We need to feel grief and let it move through us like that river, like the braid. And so I think like, that's like a skill and a gift, but I will say I have one other really important gift that I feel like needs to be brought in this time. So I've been thinking about a lot, where I'm just like, you know, we are going to have the people, we are going to have the poets, we're going to have the medicine makers. We've got people who can like find some roadkill and like make a meal and like make a harness out of it. You know what I mean? Like we've got, like, I feel like we have got some amazing skills, but I'm just like, Adrian, where are the dentists? Who's going to take care of our teeth?
I feel you. I feel you. This is why I from a very young age, I had this clarity that I was like, we need people who do all different kinds of work to feel aligned with liberation and to feel that they will have a place in a future that is dedicated to liberation. And like every, you know, like early on, I was like, everywhere's a front line, everywhere. If you're a banker, if you're a dentist, if you're, you know, like, especially if you do anything related to taking care of bodies. But yeah, I'm like, learn how to do that and do it well and then do it magically. Like, I'm like, there's dentists who make you feel horrific and bruised and battered. And then there's dentists who make you feel clean and cared for and like you're doing a good job. And I'm looking for right now a dentist who will, I really want to put gold things all up in my teeth. And I don't, you know, I just feel like that's what's going to, my old age is going to be full of like me just beaming out.
Yeah. Like adorned jewelry.
Adorned mouth. Jewelry mouth.
Yes.
I had a dream once where I had a tooth that was an aquarium that had a little fish in it. And it was like, I will never forget this because the dream made me so happy. Like that I was just like me and my fish. I have no idea how the fish survived. You know, the dream didn't get into the details.
You don't need to know the details.
Really worked. Yeah. And anyway, it was a beautiful fish.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. Aquarium tooth. Yeah. I feel like, yes, where we need a dental witch. We need dental witches who are going to like be putting flower essences as they clean our teeth. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have to say, I have this, like, I just found a dentist who's like a queer, non-binary, black butch dentist who sings while they do they sing musicals while they're, and you can watch Netflix on the ceiling. And I'm like, that's as trauma-informed fucking also kind of hot dentist.
Wait, and are they single?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Okay, find out. because we need to recruit them, obviously. That's the only reason I'm asking that.
I mean, I was like, Dory, you may not have a crush on your dentist. This is going to like not work
but
out.
Dennis,
this is like
no,
not
Dennis
a sexy.
Porn, I mean, Dennis likes fantasy is like a very, there's something really weird and hot about, I had a very hot dentist a few years ago where it was just like, this is, you know, outrageous to have a crush on someone who's doing what they're doing right now. To my mouth. And I'm like, there's no way that this could ever be mutual. But I'm like, well, you spend your whole time in people's mouths. And like, there's, I don't know, there's just a whole kinky, fun time going on.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, so I've like been moved to tears and when I've been having dental work at times, because I'm like, this person, it's so animal, actually. It's like, this person's life is like cleaning my mouth, like going in and like cleaning each and every tooth. It's so loving, you know,
and they know so much about what's happening inside my mouth. And when it's not good, I mean, like, this is also where, like, I'm like, small spells matter too. So I had this dentist who was like really brutalizing my face. Like, every time I would come away and I'd be like, I just think it's not supposed to hurt this much. I think you're doing too much. And I was like, you know, universe, just like, let me know. I was like, do I need to cast tarot? Do I need to find a new dentist? Cause it's kind of not easy and like, blah, blah, blah. And like, out of nowhere, I get a letter and it's like, this dentist has changed. Like, they've retired and they've changed and here's a new dentist that's going to be in the same office, blah, 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 blah. And I came in and that person is like the most gentle person with the smallest hands and just a so, you know, now yours is definitely like that's top, top tier, but mine feels like an improvement. And the chairs have little massager in them. So it does this little, like you're laying on your back and it's just like massaging your back.
Yes.
You, so I was like,
it's like, why not? Like, why not?
I'm really glad we opened up this whole thread of apocalyptic survival entry needs. Like, I feel like
it's so real, you know?
So
I mean,
important.
It's just like, I'm like, I think we're going to be set when it comes to, you know, like facilitators and somatic workers, but like,
we need dentists. Yeah,
we need some dentists.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just, I'm just putting great, in a little order. Maybe people are going to listen to this and be like, you know what? These, you know, the prophets have spoken.
That's,
I will become a dentist.
My ministry.
I'm just planting
just
some
like
seeds.
Some. We just need some, right?
Yeah.
Or just knowing, you know, like that's the other thing is I feel like I'm going to be, you know, Toshi Regan and I have talked about this a few times where we're like, we're not the ones who are going to be running. Right. Or walking for miles or whatever.
No.
So I'm like, I'm going to need to be like the witch who's like posted up somewhere and just kind of has general skills. And like, I'm good at learning stuff. So, you know, this has got me also like, am I paying enough attention when I go to the dentist about what I can learn from what's happening in my mouth? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've learned a lot. Like I have very good, healthy teeth and my Makani Temba, who is also, I also talked to her for this series. Makani has never had a cavity, right?
Damn.
Right? So it's like there's so much about preventative care that is also wound up in stuff we know, which is like if you keep your teeth clean and you take good care of them, like it can last you for a really long time. These are important things to know. And but those are I think of those as like the small daily spells.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just like, if you bring intention into it, right? Almost all of your life can become this place where you're creating a future, right? Mm-hmm. So I have one more question for you before we wrap it up. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, I want to ask you for advice, for guidance on how you approach doing the work you're doing while also in your own healing processes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love the sitting in the questions. That's a big part of how I live my life. And then there are times in my life when I'm like, I'm really learning a lesson right now. I'm really being humbled about, you know, what I thought I understood about myself and how I move in the world. And they feel like really important lessons, you know, like the lesson I keep learning is, even though I feel so present, there are ways that I'm still numbing myself that keep my magic from being able to access its full potential. And the numbing is directly related to, like, there's only so much I feel like I can handle of what's coming in.
And
I'm like, I'm not quite ready to be like, yeah, no numbing strategies, no coping. I'm like, that doesn't feel realistic to me. But I do want to be in right relationship with it. And so I'm on this healing journey and I'm like, listening to podcasts and, you know, really trying to understand like how the overuse of phones and overuse of food and overuse of all these things, how it's all tied together. So I feel like I meet all these healers all the time who are also really struggling in their own stuff. And it never feels hypocritical to me. It just feels like this is what it is to be human.
Yeah.
And I want to ask people who do, you know, like when you're like, yeah, people come to me. Mm-hmm. And they walk away with something that's there to heal them. Mm-hmm. And like, how do you drop in and trust what your offer is as you go through your own healing work?
What a beautiful question. And vulnerable. And I appreciate you like offering up your own process with this too. I think it's like, it's such an, you know, I'm a parent too. I have two kids. And so there's something that's like echoes this too, of just sort like, how do you, like the healing that I receive or the parenting that I receive as I heal and as I parent, you know, like it is, I get to offer myself the gentleness and the wisdom and the support and like I'm experiencing. I mean, I think that's part of like when I think about like drawing on what is ancient or like wisdom from our ancestors, of just being like that healing, you know, not in a way that's like romanticizing or being like nostalgic about something, because it's like, there's always been suffering. There's always been hard times. There's always been oppression and suppression. And yet, like, I think there's some wisdom in remembering how the ways in which healing has been held collectively, and that like, it's not, because healing isn't about like attaining a state of stasis or perfection or reaching something or being better, you know, like a kind of like betterment. It's not a trajectory that's like that. It's like, then like, I don't have to be any of those things. What I have to be is like really present and alive. And, you know, sometimes I think like, you know, part of what you're asking too is like, I think like with the relationship with like the phone or things that we do to manage how painful it is to be alive.
Yes.
It's like offering ourselves compassion with that too, of just being like, it is brutal, you know, it is brutal. It is brutal. And like I think about this like also just as a parent, where I'm just like, let's, in order to be present, in order to be alive, in order to show up, like, I have to have capacity. In order to have capacity, I have to be gentle with myself, and I have to, like, you know, and I think it's like, it's a daily thing, and also like a long thing of finding the balance between doing things that make it livable and tolerable to be alive. And then when you're like, this is a thing that's actually keeping me from life, that's like shutting it off, you know? And like, I think being in that discernment and having support, like, it's also like, I think the isolation and the loneliness, even for those of us who like love our, you know, time in our little sanctuaries, whether they be
our closets,
our closets or our homes or our gardens or whatever. It's just like, I mean, you know, most spiritual practices are like, you do collective prayer practices. You have a daily rhythm that is held in collectivity, because for the very reason that it is really hard to maintain those kinds of like life-giving, life-affirming, life-feeding, nourishing practices on your own. It's so easy to fall out of rhythm and just watch TV.
It's so easy.
You know?
I really, this resonates through my whole being, you know, this, first of all, just being able to accept like that we have to do this in community, and that there's not a destination, but that it's this. I love when you talked about God is like, I'm becoming who I am becoming, who I'm becoming, who I'm, you know, like that feels like the holiest thing about us. And I forget that when I'm like, I'm struggling and I don't know basic shit, like how to eat. And then it's like, right, I'm struggling and I don't know basic things like how to eat, because I grew up in an environment where no one knew how to eat, and no one still knows how to eat right now. Like,
And like, why is that? Like, right. It's like, it's actually not your fault. And it's even not like the fault of like your caregivers. It's like, we're living in a fucked up system. Exactly. And I feel like that as like a frame of just being like, okay, also like, how do we be gentle with ourselves? One of that is like figure. And I feel like this is like the wisdom that perimenopause is bringing me to, is just being like, I'm able to like find this, like, the place where I can direct my anger in a really generative way. Like, I'm
me too.
Okay. Yeah. Like, whatever with this friend or this lover or this child or whatever it is, and just be like, oh no, I see where I'm going to direct this fucking anger. And it is going right to the place, to the systemic, you know, it's like,
place that actually created,
and
these conditions.
It's like, and that allows me to hold myself and other people in more gentleness and more love, you know?
Dori, this is so good. I love talking with you. And, you know, I feel like the universe has done right by putting us in each other's path. You know, like it feels like such a generative place whenever we get to talk, and I always learn, and I always feel more solid in who I am in the world. And I, now I'm going to read a spell, but the way, since Dori will not tell you, you go to dorimidnight.com. Okay. You go to dorimidnight.com. Everything, D-O-R-I, midnight.com. And you can find out about all of the offerings, the healing work, the rituals, the mentorship, the art magic. You can go to the apothecary and buy the spells. You can get workshops. You can see the writing. It's all there on dorimidnight.com. We'll also put that in the show notes. And then I'm going to read a spell to close us out. So, and this spell I picked especially for our conversation, it's the Flower Moon spell on page 127 of Fables and Spells. First, the petals. How many witches must cast a spell before it can protect our families, our bodies, our land, the sacred ritual of birth, the innocence in each of us? How much abundance is needed to satisfy the hunger of cancer, the grasp of loneliness, the ache of desire, the pulse of greed calling? How many prayers must cross in the sky at odds to confuse the gods into hiding? For isn't it true that the idea of God corrupts us, tricks us into diminishing our divinity until we forget how to be answers? How many children must be warriors for their future, and how do we forget war for the sake of future? How many nights will the moon pull the tide of this blood river, until the trauma settles, and even the memory of the trauma, and even the anger and forgetting and getting lost in the shape of the trauma, how many nights until it flows clear in us? How much dirt must we grip into with our roots before we can trust ourselves to grow all the way out into the light. Flower moon spell. Moon, help us shine into the impossible places and then shed the pain, carrying the lessons into the dark, new, and fertile night. Teach us the spells of this time. Gift us abundance without attachment. Let us pray by loving each other without conditions. Let us play, singing blurred words and dancing alone, surrounded by love and the possibility of love. Over and over, take what we can't carry with ashes, with water, and whispers, and then let the night birds sing us to sleep. Humble us, remind us that the dirt is home. The dirt, the mess is us. The petals fall away.
Amen, amen.
I adore you, and I'm so grateful to you, and I'm so grateful to everyone who tuned in to listen to this conversation.
Shake these bones, shake these bones.
How to Survive the End of the World is produced by Zach Rosen, the Big Papa. You can become a subscriber of this show at patreon.com/endoftheworldshow. And then you can follow us on Instagram at endoftheworldpc. Thank you so much. Have a good life. Blowing you kisses, Dory.
Mwah.
Bye, love.
Adore you. Bye. Mwah. Text me about a potion.
I will. I need it. Okay.